as I wait. Heart of
Hello,
God.
Hello, life, and welcome to the Growth Group Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts together to help you get the most out of your small group discussion each week. This week is our last week in a series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzera. We are in week 8, the last week, and it's called A Rule of Life is the name of this last chapter, and it's a really intriguing idea that really brings together all of the previous chapters in one, doesn't it?
It does. And it, you know, again, it's a pretty scary title because so many people think that one of the things that is bad about Christianity is that there's too many rules. Mm-hmm. And this sounds like here's a bunch of rules for you. And it really isn't that at all. I mean, the word that's used for rule, or the word that's that is the source of this idea, is better described as a trellis, which I know that you mentioned, we mentioned in one of these questions. But it's the idea that if our lives have a framework on which they grow, that there's some pastors have wrote a book called The Trellis and the Vine. Mm-hmm. And that suggested that each church has a framework on which ministry happens, and that framework is really important, but because it's that actually facilitates the growth of the ministry. I mean, if you put too much emphasis on your framework, then you know the vine mm-hmm. doesn't grow. But if you try and grow a vine without a trellis, it's all over the place,
right?
And it's not very fruitful.
Mm-hmm. So you think about the trellis in the case of a church being its programs, its Sunday activity, the things that happen during
its
the week,
organization,
the small
group. Its ministry, right. Its organizational structure, which enables the ministry to happen. Mm. I mean, if you being in charge of growth groups, David, if you don't organize the growth groups properly, then the growth that takes place within them will not be as flourishing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Constricted. Well, let's take a look at the first question, which has the word trellis in it. It's called Vines Need a Trellis. Scazzera has observed that very few people have a conscious plan for developing their spiritual lives. Instead, they go through the motions, unfocused, distracted, spiritually adrift. Have there been seasons in your walk with Christ when you felt this way? How does intentionality undermine this entropy? And what role can a trellis play in our efforts to intentionally keep God at the center of all we do?
Yes. Now, this is really a question about intentionality. When I began thinking about this, I thought, well, actually, most people's rule of life is, I'm going to try and survive. Mm-hmm. And anything that I have to do is based on surviving. And I think that's why we miss the fact that God has so much more for us. Because survival is such a short-term goal. You know, if I get through today and I'm not dead, I've survived. whereas God has designed for us a unique life which will flourish. And if we have a framework which makes sure that our engagement with God is intentionally in the structure of that life, then I believe that facilitates the growth in all sorts of areas. Because there is nothing that should be in our life which should be outside the flourishing, outside the intention, the unique plans that God has for each of our lives.
Mm. Yeah, and just a word to the growth group leaders. I think that our last question here, the question about developing our own rule of life, is probably the most important here. And the first two are just kind of setting the stage for that. So if you just be conscious as a group to make sure you get to that last question,
yeah.
and if necessary, truncate the first two, that's probably the right move. But let's look at our second question, the Bible question this week. Life in the early church. The early church had a framework of life that maintained their focus on Jesus. Read Acts 2, 41 to 47, and 4, 32 to 35. How would you describe this community's rule of life? Describe the activities, disciplines that they use to grow and mature in Christ.
Yes, these are verses which many of us will be very familiar with, but the interesting thing about them, I think, is that there are all. If I just look at two, the verses in 2, chapter 41 to 47,
the communism verses, right?
Yes, the communism verses, yes. But it's interesting that you've included verse 41, where it says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all."
Because this
shows that what was happening here was a major growth. This wasn't just a little commune. This wasn't a commune. This was a major...
There was a necessary trellis for this immense vine.
In order to make sure that suddenly this immense vine existed, and so there needed to be a framework. And the framework is not just read your Bible, pray every day. There's a whole structure here.
And it's all community-driven.
It's community-driven, yes. They were devoted themselves to the teaching. So the apostles' teaching was really important. That's the equivalent we may have as going to church,
yeah,
and the fellowship and sharing meals. But then there was an intense practicality about it. They shared everything they had. They worshipped together. They had meals together. They enjoyed the goodwill of all people. People noticed them, and so this is a whole way of life. Or a rule of life, as you might say. Their community was characterized by the way they behaved with each other. They were very distinctive. And, history tells us that, people notice them. And they think, whoa, these people are really different. Mm-hmm. And so I think that... putting all of these different things, it includes the way in which we serve one another. It includes the way in which we, the time we have with God and the focus we have on Him, and all of those different things. When you add them all together, it becomes a way of life, and it really addresses the fact that what God is calling us to is a way of life, not a... not just a simple go to church on Sundays.
Right, or a single decision.
He's calling us to a transformed way of life, because that which started in the garden has become so utterly distorted in terms of the way God designed us to flourish.
Our last question has a lot of qualifications, a lot of disclaimers, you'll notice, but I think they're all necessary and I hope to helpful. The last question is called Developing Your Own Rule of Life. Now it's time for you to begin developing your own personal rule of life. Prayerfully reflecting on the example provided on pages 194 to 207, craft a rule which incorporates each of Scazzaro's four categories: prayer, rest, work, and relationships. I'll ask you about those in a minute. Recognize that each person's rule will resemble their personality and stage of life, and that this process is one of trial and error. Try starting out with only one or two elements for the first month. And remember, don't be hard on yourself. Share your rule with your group and help one another develop a pattern for spiritual growth, which is achievable and life-giving.
Yes, I mean, this is, in a sense, if you take all of the things that we've talked about over the past 7 weeks, this begins to say, okay, this is how all of this begins to change the way we do life. And there are all sorts of elements to our lives. And it facilitates our questioning all of them. I mean, I think that's what's so often key, is that we question a couple of bits of them, but what Pete Scazzaro is saying is that it's not that it's bad to question a few of them, but actually, if we want to discover what God actually has for us, we have to question them all. And we may have to make some difficult and radical decisions, some decisions that might be unpopular, all of those. But we can't tinker with our lives with God. God's plan is that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, transformation is a big word. It's not a modification. It's not an adjustment. It's a transformation.
Right. I kind of think of this idea of a rule of life as like your game plan. What's your game plan for growing as a Christian?
Right.
Well, I'm going to read the Bible and pray, and I'm going to go to church and attend a small group and work maybe at a ministry at church. And the last handful, those are pretty good. There's some fair specifics. Mm-hmm. But even the first couple, I think that a rule of life really urges you to be very specific with your, I'm going to read, I'm going to pray. What's that going to look like?
Yeah.
When are you going to pray? At what time during the day? What are you going to pray about during those
how
hours?
How often are you going to pray? You know, how often are you going to be intentional about your praying? I mean, I know it says mm-hmm. pray without ceasing and all those sorts of things, but this is about the pieces. Sorry, I had to sneeze. This is about the pieces of life that are intentional. There will be all sorts of pieces around it which are less intentional.
Right.
But this is about saying, I'm going to put markers, I'm going to put intentional pieces in my life that will form a framework. I was reading in the Daily Office today one of the meditations that it has for this particular week, it talks about the fact that when you build a fire, you have to have gaps between the logs.
Building gaps into your life.
And so where are our gaps and where are our logs? Because if we don't have gaps and logs, if you put logs too closely together, they snuff the fire out. If you don't have gaps in there, then they don't catch fire. And so it is the gaps as well as the logs. So it isn't all gap. And it isn't all log.
Or you can ask John to come in here and he can tell us about gaps in music
right.
as well. And those
rests,
periods of silence.
And, yeah.
Rests. Yeah, how important those
how
are.
How important they are, yeah.
Can you just for a moment talk about maybe the intention behind Scazzaro's four categories of prayer, rest, work, and relationships? Is it necessary when we're crafting our own rule of life to have a couple things in this box, a couple things in that box? Or do you kind of think of it as this is just what my morning quiet time's going to look like. I'm going to be purposeful to do these things.
It may be even vaguer than that, John. David, you mentioned John.
Okay, I know, okay. I know.
Maybe even vaguer than that. It's saying, I'm going to have a time at 9 o'clock in the morning where I'm going to focus on God. And right now I'm going to do, I'm going to read the Daily Office. What you do might change, but what becomes a fixed part of your trellis right now is the 9 o'clock time.
Okay.
I think that your trellis needs to be reviewed regularly. Some people say they reviewed their trellis once a month. Some people say they review it once a year. I think either is possible, but no review is
so
dangerous.
So you don't place a strong emphasis on there being these different categories
But what I would then say is, these within that framework that you all of these categories need to be
present within your plan.
Within the plan.
Okay.
Yeah. It not all pleasant at every there needs to be prayer within the plan.
Yeah, and even like for him, prayer is pretty broad. I think that he even puts the category of scripture under prayer.
Yes,
for him.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, reading, you know, you've heard lots of people say about reading the Psalms as prayers, you know, I mean, those sorts of things. Yes, that we can be very flexible, but if we're prayerful and intentional, we'll get somewhere. Because I think that, you know, so many times it's important to just to say, Lord, I need you to help me understand what I should do here.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're absolutely right in saying in your question here, saying there are different stages in our lives, and in a sense, different parts of this are more difficult at different times,
and for different people,
So we need to embrace the uniqueness of its existence, along with the need for its existence. And the need for each of these pieces to be part of it, at the same time as not saying, you know, you've got to have half an hour's prayer, you've got to have half an hour's reading. We need to be flexibly intentional.
Right, and I think I say near the end there, crafting a rule that's feasible, something that's attainable and not outlandishly difficult.
Right, and you know,
just taking your first step.
Right, and some things, you know, you may feel like, well, I'd like to spend half an hour in prayer every morning, but I'm not sure that I can fit half an hour in. Okay, start with 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Start with 10 minutes. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if there isn't anything else,
I think
we'll call this conversation a wrap, and I hope it has been helpful for you and your small group. This is the point in our podcast where I say next week we are going to do this. Do we have an idea as to what's going to happen after our emotionally healthy spirituality, or at least something Christmassy, all right, that the bells will be ringing?
I think we will be doing something Advent-y.
All right.
I think I've never actually done an Advent series.
Okay.
And so I think I might be doing something like that.
Oh, that sounds fun. I have to confess, I've started listening to Christmas music already, and I hope you have too.
Yay!
We'll see you next time, guys. God bless.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.